We are in Ephesians chapter 5. Start verses 15 to 21. And we will be talking about wisdom. And also making melody in your heart. And that's why I picked that hymn this morning. So I'll read Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We can turn to it any time of the day or night. We can just learn wonderful truths that you've given us. And I pray that these verses will encourage us to strive to redeem the time as we live here on earth. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Redeeming the time means rescuing time from loss. It means to deny yourself ease and pleasure to gain an opportunity of doing good. Time is something that you can't recover once it's passed. Every second that ticks by on your watch, it's gone forever. Have you ever planned a project for on your day off, and you got a 10-point list of things you have to do, and you know you're going to get an early start, and because you got to get this done on a Saturday, and the first thing that happens is you sleep in, you're an hour late, then you have a leisurely breakfast, takes an hour. So you finally get going on the project, and then you realize you've forgotten something, or you're missing some screws or a piece of wood. This happens to me all the time. So then you drive into town to get the part that you need. And of course, if you go to Home Depot or a big store, there's always lots of stuff to look at, right? So you get sidetracked and you start looking at things that have nothing to do with the project. So you head home, and of course you feel like a coffee. So you go through Tim Hortons, and there's a long lineup. So by the time you get home, it's time for lunch. So you have lunch, and then you get onto the job again. And by the time the day's over, you've only done 2 things on the list of 10. So you say, I'm going to be different next week. I'm going to redeem the time next week and really be on schedule. I'm not going to waste time. In verse 16, God tells us we're to make good use of the time that's given to us, redeeming the time because the days are evil. When Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, the times that then were evil. And the days are still evil today, are they not? Sin abounds on earth among the unsaved, and there's a great deal of darkness in the hearts of mankind in the world today, just as there was darkness in the hearts of mankind at the time of Christ. Jesus said in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Moses, he spent his life redeeming the time. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to take part in all the pleasures of sin for a season. That's what he would have enjoyed if he had remained in the Pharaoh's family. Instead, he chose by faith to suffer trials with the people of God by leading them into the promised land. Hebrews 11:24-25. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. How many people have there been in history who have rejected the gospel in favor of enjoying pleasures of sin for a season? When Paul stood before Agrippa and witnessed to him, the king then said to Paul in Acts 26:28, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Agrippa, he wasn't ready to give up his life of pleasure and sin. And sadly, there are many today who have heard the gospel of salvation, but they aren't ready to place their faith in Jesus Christ. They might think to themselves, oh, I'm only 20 years old, I'm 15, or I'm 30 years old, I'll wait, I'll enjoy life. And once I've enjoyed life for a while, then I'll turn to Christ. But this is dangerous because none of us know when our lives will be taken from this earth. All sinners must redeem the time, and they must believe the gospel before it's too late for them. Because if you miss the boat, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. As believers, we're to redeem the time. We live in the world, but our affections are not to be on the world. Our affections are to be on things above. We're to make good use of the hours and the days that the Lord has given us. We're told of the urgency of the situation in Romans 13:11-14. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. We must live every day redeeming the time. And there's 2 points I want to just bring to your attention this morning. The first is we are to walk in wisdom. And the second is we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you look at verse 15, where it says we're to walk in wisdom, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The word circumspectly means cautiously or with watchfulness. It means with attention to guard against surprise or danger. In math, the perimeter of a circle is called the circumference. I'm sure all of you high school students know that. Oh, sure you do. What is it? Pi D, yeah. But the idea is circumspectly. It means you kind of walk around and you examine a decision maybe you have to make, a life decision. You're cautious. You check it out from different angles. You see, you and I, we're to be careful where we put our feet. We're to be careful as to the company we keep. And we're to be careful as to our behavior among others. When God gave the commandments to Moses, the Lord said in Exodus 23:13, and in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. You know, I believe that other gods have infiltrated the Christian church. Pastors haven't been circumspect in their preaching. Christians haven't been circumspect in what books they read or what videos they listen to, watch, or podcasts they listen to. People have not been cautious and have been seduced by wolves in sheep's clothing. Jesus tells us to beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. He says in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So who are these false gods? Well, we have the obvious, right? Major religions such as Hinduism, Buddhism, Muslims, Catholicism. But there's also the God of self that's being preached in churches today. A God with a small g is any person or thing exalted too much and honored. I heard a man, have you heard of Kanye West? Is it Kanye? Kanye West. He was being interviewed. He said he's God. That's an extreme thing, right? But people are exalting themselves and leading themselves into believing that they're really good people, right? That's self-exaltation. That's what's happening today. But all who have gone down this broad road to destruction, they're called fools, as it says in Ephesians 5:15. We must walk cautiously. We must test everything we hear, everything we read. Check it against the Bible, just as the Bereans did. Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. We must walk in wisdom. And verse 17 says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We must understand what the will of the Lord is to walk in wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the very beginning of wisdom. 2 days before the Los Angeles fires broke out, the Golden Globes were held. I don't know if you've heard this. And at that event, the MC of the awards, she mocked God. She blasphemed the name of God. And when I read the foul comments she made, it made me cringe. There was no fear of God in this woman's heart. And the Bible says she's a fool. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. That's Psalm 14:1. For us to properly walk in wisdom, we must have a healthy fear of God. But then we must also have a knowledge of the holy, which means we must understand, or to understand what the will of God is. And knowledge of the holy is knowledge of the word of God. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. We must read our Bibles to better understand what the will of the Lord is. Not just once, but just all the time. Have you ever heard of a guy named Harry Ironside? He was a well-known pastor. And he wrote a lot of books. About 80 years ago, he was preaching to 500 Christians somewhere in the States. And partway through his sermon, he stopped and asked for those who have read through the entire Bible to put up their hand. Out of 500 people, only 2 people raised their hand. And he was very ashamed at just how little people read their Bibles. You must ask yourself, am I reading the Bible? Have you read through the Bible even once? If you haven't, make a promise to God and promise to yourself that, yes, I'm going to read his word faithfully every day, even if it's just a little bit. Start by picking a book, pick a gospel, or pick one of the letters that Paul wrote. And then when you go through that, pick another one. set a goal for yourself to finish a book in a certain amount of time and stick to it, and then go on to the next one. Redeem the time. We're living in an evil world. You and I need to understand what the will of the Lord is. Meditate on what the verses are telling you and pray that God will open your understanding when you read it. Psalm 1:2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We must read scriptures every day. And you just have to read a little at a time. You don't have to read 10, 20 pages every day. It's just a little at a time to understand what God's telling us. So you can walk in wisdom. Isaiah tells us we're to understand, that we understand the doctrines of God by reading a little bit at a time. Isaiah 28, 9 and 10. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept, a precept is a commandment. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. You see how it's just you build your wisdom, your knowledge and wisdom. That's how we're to live. And we live, we're to live by every word of the God, of God, right? That's what Jesus told the devil. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Job placed such a great value on the word of God. He said it was the word of God was more important than the food he ate. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's Job 23, 12. And as you continue to walk in the wisdom of God, there will be a change in you. And that's my second point, is you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Notice being drunk with wine is compared to being filled with the Holy Spirit, because there's an outward similarity between the two. And that's happiness and joy. When the Holy Ghost filled all the believers on the day of Pentecost, they spoke different languages so others who were there could understand what they were saying. These believers were full of the Holy Spirit. And they were thought to be drunk with wine by some who were witnessing this. Acts 2:13. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. The Spirit-filled believers must have been full of joy and happiness, so others assumed they had been drinking. People will drink, right? They'll drink alcohol to feel happy. All the trials and stresses of life go away for a few hours after having a few drinks. But with too much alcohol, one will be tempted to say sinful things, maybe lust for people, as it says in Proverbs 23:33, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. And of course, the next morning, when it's all worn off, the happiness will be replaced with a hangover and a feeling of being unwell. Being filled with the Spirit of God is far better than being filled with wine. Instead of being controlled by alcohol, we're controlled by the Spirit of God. As we know, each one of us have been indwelled by the Holy Spirit at the time we placed our faith in Jesus Christ. As Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. But to be filled with the Spirit comes when we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And that's the hard part, right? That's the struggle I have. And I'm sure that's the struggle many of you have. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. being filled with the Spirit happens when we fill our minds and our thoughts with the Word of God and live in obedience to His Word. Being filled with the Holy Spirit brings joy and happiness that no amount of wine can do. You see, the joy in the Holy Ghost is an everlasting joy. It's the fruit that we display when we're filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And being filled with the Holy Spirit will lead us to live bearing His fruit. And verses 19 to 21 tell us, as believers filled with the Spirit, we'll first of all make melody in our heart to the Lord. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Music has a profound effect on us because it influences our thoughts and our behavior. If you immerse yourself in the music of the world, it will lead you to have thoughts for worldly things, maybe pleasure, maybe lust for things. You know, I still know songs I heard when I was 14 years old. I know the lyrics. Like, hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and we're not what a horrible group, but I know the words, right? But when you're filled with the Spirit of God and you direct your attention on hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, they'll lead your mind to sing praises to God your Father. As it says in Psalm 47, 6 and 7, sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Being filled with the Holy Spirit will also lead us, secondly, to give thanks for all things. Verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are times in your life when things go smoothly. Everyone in your family's in good health. You don't have any money worries. There's no looming big repair bills or catastrophe. And during these times, it's not difficult to give thanks to God in the name of Jesus Christ for looking after you. But when bad things happen, family strife, it's not easy to give thanks to God. Say your finances take a turn for the worse for some reason. You're having trouble paying your bills. It's hard to be thankful. Or if a doctor gives you bad news, temptation is to say to God, why? Why me? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? But being filled with the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to be thankful. He enables us to look beyond the trials and the difficulties and instead focus on the big picture. And the big picture is we've been saved. We've been washed from our sins by the shed blood of Christ. We're enjoying God's everlasting mercy that He's given us. Psalm 136, 26. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. There are unbelievers who have lots of money, they have big homes, they can go anywhere in the world on holidays, but they aren't thankful to God. Job 21 tells of the heart of the rich. Job 21, 13 to 15. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? But you know, there are Christians all over the earth who are poor, not just poor, but dirt poor. They barely have enough to feed themselves. And yet they're thankful to God for His mercy. They're thankful to God for the victory over death that they have won through Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:57. There's a third thing we'll do being filled with the Holy Ghost, which is we'll have humble hearts. Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The fruit of the Spirit-filled Christian is meekness, which means gentleness, submissiveness to the will of God. It's the opposite of pride and arrogance. Pride is an abomination to the Lord. There's no room for pride in the church. We're all in the same level. We're all sinners. We've all been saved from the penalty due for our sin because of the kindness and love of God our Savior. No one is more important than anyone else. Jesus came from his eternal home in glory, eternal glory, to earth as a man with no reputation. He dwelt on earth as a meek and lowly servant to save us. And we're to take his yoke upon ourselves. We're to learn of him. And that means being humble servants, submitting to one another in the fear of God. After Jesus washed the disciples' feet after the Last Supper, he said in John 13:14, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you." I believe there are some churches that take this literally, and they actually wash one another's feet. But what it means, each one of us, is to consider others as being better than ourselves. We're to keep ourselves humble. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So in closing, as we continue to live here on earth, we must be mindful of the great evil that's around us. God calls us to redeem the time. He calls us to make good use of our time, not be preoccupied with the pleasures of the flesh. And instead, we're to strive to walk in wisdom that he has given us. You know, God has made it easy for us to walk his way because his way is well lit by his word. Proverbs 6:23, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Canada and the U.S. are going through great political upheaval right now. I can't believe the hatred and the animosity that people have for one another. Things are uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen. But we need not get upset by the uncertainty, because our future as believers is secure. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to face any situation with thankfulness. It's my prayer we'll all continue to abound in hope for the future through the power of the Holy Ghost. As Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." You know, it's my prayer that each one of us, myself included, make an effort to redeem our time by turning from things that provide pleasure and ease, and instead learning about and serving our great and merciful God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we can be here this morning. Lord, you love us with a perfect love, and I know we don't deserve your love because we just are sinners. But because of what your Son did for us on the cross, by shedding his blood, he's washed our sins away for all of us who have placed our faith and trust in him. And Lord, I do pray that if anyone here hasn't turned to Jesus Christ, that they would do so, and they would understand that they need to believe in your Son as the one who died for them And if they put their trust in him, that their sins would be forgiven as ours are, and they would have the promise of eternal life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.